Father, we, as your people, we lift up our hearts before you. And Father, it is important for us to lament with our family when the church goes through difficult times. And Father, we are mindful of our brothers and sisters who are in Texas, who are this week coming back into the gathering of your people. And they are reminded of what happened last week. And Father, we thank you first and foremost for the protection for many of those in that congregation. But Father, we pray for the families that were affected. We pray for kids in that room who experienced that difficult circumstance, that you would guard their hearts, that you would protect their hearts. For the families of those that were lost, Lord, would you just be a comfort to them? Father, we pray that you would be with our brothers and sisters, and not just there in Texas, but Father, all over this world, as the enemy seeks to harm and to kill and destroy and to divide and to break apart your people, so many do not have the freedom we have to come and gather. And so, Father, we lift them up. We pray that you would help their faith to be steadfast and firm. Father, that you would protect your church. Father, I want to pray for the unity of your church. But Father, more than just unity, I want to pray for your church across this world as the world would seek to press us to bend and to turn away from your word, to go away from the things that it has called us to, whether it is issues of abortion or homosexuality or whatever those issues are. Father, may your people stand firm. May you give us the resolve to stand firm. And Father, may you bless that resolve. May you bless your church in that space. And Father, may that resolve bring blessing even to this country and into this space and into this world, that the world would see the truth of your gospel. May we do it with gentleness and love, but may we do it with boldness as well. Protect your church. Father, we know that your way is the only way. It is the right way. It is the good way and the beautiful way. May we be faithful to it. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, as we turn to the beginning of this year, we continue on in this kind of two-part sermon series on a new day as we walk into January 2020. And as we do so, I would ask that you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and Irene is going to come up, and she's going to read our text for us. We're going to be reading Psalm 119, 1 through 16. And if you are able, please, out of respect for God's word, would you join me in standing?
Welcome and Happy New Year. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. Then, when I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of God. Church, please be seated.
My name is Doug Faulkner, and this is my story. My son, Morgan, was born on March 10th of 1995. I remember the day, I remember the time. It was early morning. I was in the room. He was born via C-section. There are many memories that I have of happy moments like that throughout his life. But yet I look back on those and I realize that there is something missing, and that is a proper understanding of the responsibility that I had. When he was very young, before he even entered kindergarten, we were dealing with these anxiety issues. It was something that we dealt with all the time, and I think back now, there are plenty of times where I dismissed him when I should have engaged. I would say early on, I realized that I had that responsibility, but I felt lost because everywhere I looked, there were different answers. Nothing seemed to ring true. As a young father, I relied on my experiences growing up under the direction of my father. And the problem with that is there wasn't a lot of direction. My dad assumed that I would learn things, that I would figure things out the way he figured things out. And he was right. He relied on the culture, I relied on the culture. And so the first part of my son's life, I was thinking, okay, he's gonna figure these things out. I can give him a little bit of direction, but he's really the one that's gotta figure this out because that's what I had to do. Again, it took me 40 some years before I figured out where the true answers are. And so once I got to that point, I then began to understand where I had failed my son. So I have been looking for the truth all my life, and I finally heard Jesus' voice. And from that point on, Deanna and I then began engaging, trying to figure out, were we in a church body or were we in something else? This is when I began to understand the concept of biblical authority, because up to that point, I don't think I would have said the Bible was the place to go. That's when I really began to understand I am failing as a parent, that I need to convey these things to my son. He was picking up some of this, but where I was failing was to lead in my home. I cannot tell you how much I prayed for my son, that someone would come into his life from God, someone he would listen to, that he would pivot from the path that he was on, that he would be healed, that God would do whatever was required to restore Morgan to us. But something happened that I could not have imagined. Something terrible. On March 28th of 2017, Morgan took his own life. If my identity had been in the world, my life would have been over. But by God's grace, it was in Christ. A sovereign God had blessed Deanna and I with His Word, His Holy Spirit, and the people that He put in our lives so that we might persevere through troubles. I do not have enough strength, mental discipline, or wisdom on my own merit. I rely on those things by God's Word, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and my fellow co-disciples. You know, I get a Bible verse on my phone. The morning before I knew anything about what Morgan had done, I had received a verse. It was John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. What I want to point out is that I'm not here to tell you how to raise your kids. My point, why I'm here, is to have you look at your relationship with your Creator. I want to remind you of Deuteronomy 6:4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Where does this start? It starts in your home.
Father, we continue on our time this morning, and we're so grateful for Doug and Deanna's willingness to share their testimony. Father, I pray that as we enter now to turn to your word, which has been such an anchor for them, that Father, it would also become an anchor for all of us, that it would be more than just a duty that we engage, that it would be a part of our lives, that would lead us to you. And I pray, Father, for this morning, that, Father, you would help us to begin this new year with a renewed passion and a renewed pursuit, not of knowledge, but of you, your heart, your will, and to dwell with you. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you would give us your favor and your blessing. And I ask all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You know, last week we talked about the fact that we all enter into this new year in a different place, that some walk into this new year feeling strong, some feel faint-hearted, you feel discouraged, some feel like you are in a space of weakness, and you don't know where to go, you want to continue to pursue, and others feel like you are in a space of maybe idleness, where you're not engaging in what God has called you to. And I share this testimony, and Doug, I just want to thank them, the Faulkners, for their willingness to share their testimony, because you can hear in their heart, there's so much here for us to take away from parenting and the importance of what that is, the importance of fathers in a home, to the reality and the dangers of anxiety and depression, which so often in the church get ignored or pushed underneath a carpet. And if that's you struggling with that, please come and let us talk with you. But there's so many things in this testimony. But one thing that Doug and Deanna want us to be reminded of, and you heard it over and over again when it talked about the one thing that they were missing early on was the direction and the reliance of God in their lives. What you heard so much was as they walked through this difficult time, their anchor was Christ. And their anchor was his word. And I say that because for all of us, so you're a father, a mother, a single, a child, wherever you are, as you enter into this new year, regardless of what is coming, God has given to us the greatest thing that we could ever hope for, and it is his word. And so my hope today as we talk about his word, my heart today is that we would recognize that this is not just some option for us as Christians to engage. That this isn't something that's like, well, you know, I'm not a big reader, and so this isn't important, but that we would recognize the value and the beauty of God's word as a gift to his people, and we'll talk about what that is. But then secondly, that we would also all walk away from this space with some very practical steps that we can all grow in as we pursue Christ this year and in the decades to come. Amen? So that is our hope. That's my hope this morning. And I want to make something really, really clear now as we move into talking about why should we look at this word. And it's to address some misconceptions about studying God's word, is that we don't study the word of God to become smarter people, do we? Like, that's not why we study the word of God. Now, I think in some respects we can become smarter in some ways. We can learn facts in some things, but this is not a textbook. It's not a textbook. And it's not even a roadmap to our life. This is a beautiful invitation to God's people. It's his revelation to us that we might enter into intimacy with him, to know his heart, to know what it is to have life with him, to hear his voice, to know his will, to find his hope, to understand his plans, to understand his providence. Like, this is his revelation to us. We've said this before, but we have no access to him without him taking the initiative and revealing himself to us. Amen? That's what this is. And if we see it as a textbook, we're going to miss the point of it. We're going to miss what it's here for. It's here to lead us to him, to a relationship with him, to dwell with him, to know him. That's the word. And so regardless of what you're walking through, we go to the best place that he's given to us, to know him, because he is our anchor, he is our strength, he is our hope. Amen? That's why we read the word. I want to just give you some specifics as to why we read his word. And I would encourage you to read all of Psalm 119. We didn't read it this morning because it's like 150 some odd verses and we'd be here all day. But I encourage you to do that this week because the whole text is about the beauty of the word of God, the beauty of God's law, the beauty of the things that God has revealed to his people, but just some things that I want to point out. That we come to the word and we read his word, we spend time in his word because one, the word leads us to intimacy with the Father. It leads us to intimacy with him. This is like us sitting down at a table and having his heart be revealed to us. He's saying, here's who I am. Come and find me, come and hear me, come and learn me. So his word leads to intimacy with him. His word leads to blessing. And I don't mean just blessing in a sense of like, oh, that's going to make all of our lives easy. That's clearly not the case. But his word leads to blessing in a sense that we can begin to experience the right reign of God over our lives. We can begin to see the life and the joy that he intends for all of his people. We read his word because his word reveals his way, a way in which we cannot find in ourselves. We read his word because his word reveals his goodness. If you ever doubt the goodness of God, spend time in his word and see the goodness of God and experience the goodness of God, his character, his love, his graciousness, his mercy for wicked and rebellious people throughout history. He is good. We also read his word because his word protects and guards. Such an important thing. Like, we all are walking our own paths, aren't we? Like, we all want to walk our own paths. And what's amazing is even as we set our own standards and even as we set our own paths, how many of us are even able to keep our own standards? How many of us are even able to protect ourselves, to keep ourselves within the resolutions you made this year? I decided that I was going to go easy on gluten this year. And guess what I was eating last night at like 9? A roll. that my wife made. Like, I can't even stay within the boundaries of the standards I set for myself. Like, the Word of God helps protect us to keep us in line with the life and the direction that God is calling us to, and that's why we spend time in it, so that we can find ourselves walking with Him. The Word, as we engage the Word, it brings us delight in who our God is, and ultimately, we read the Word because the Word leads us to Him. Friends, if you have picked up your Bibles, if you have picked this up with the intent to know facts, you're going to learn facts, but you're going to miss the point. If you pick this up hoping to find some applicable things that you can find more joy in life and make your life better, in some respects, you are going to find some applicable things that's going to make your life better, but you're going to miss the point. If you pick this up to answer all of life's questions, some of those questions are going to be answered, while other ones you're left wondering about, like, how many hours should I look at TV screens, right? And if you go to it, you're going to find some of those answers, but at the end of the day, you're going to miss the point. His Word is about finding Him. Engaging His Word is about engaging Him. It's about engaging His heart. And so if this has been something in your life that you have neglected, you say, man, this isn't important, or I'm not a reader, I want to encourage you this morning to hear why God's people should care about His Word, why we should be in His Word. If you are walking in strength and you feel close to the Lord, go to His Word that you might draw even and ever nearer to Him. If you are walking faint of heart and you are discouraged, may you go to the Word that your soul might be encouraged through His Spirit as He reveals Himself. Even as Doug said, like, Christ was their strength. They don't have the strength in themselves. They don't have the wisdom within themselves, even in the midst of their faint-heartedness. If you find yourself weak, go to the Word and find Him as your strength. If you find yourself idle, go to His Word to find His will, as so much of one Psalm 119 tells us. This is why we read His Word. And did I know the case? Some are gonna say, but man, it's so complex. I don't know where to start. I've tried it before and I didn't feel anything out of it. And so here's what I want to move into. I want to move into some very practical ways and approaches that we can all engage in as we move towards looking at the Word. Now, I want to talk about some dangerous approaches to His Word, but then give us some practical tools of how we can devotionally come to His Word. And I want to just kind of start off, and I think this is really important, because it's easy to look up at a pastor on a stage who gets to study the Word of God day in and day out and say, well, that's pastoral stuff. Like, nothing I'm going to share to you from you today, or to you today, was originated in me, right? Like, I didn't make it up. It didn't come from me. These are all things that I, in my life, have used and learned slowly and grown in, and we all can do it. Everyone. From the youngest person in this room who can read to the oldest person in this room. Like, it's something we can all engage. This is for all of us. This isn't something for scholarly people, and that's not what this is. This is for every single person in this room who wants to know Jesus deeper in 2020 than they ever have before. And so, what are some dangerous approaches to God's revelation? Well, the first one is this. It's the emotional approach. It's coming to the Scripture and looking for whatever feels right to me. As we read the text, it's us, it's those times where we come and we go, man, like, I just want to feel good. I want to feel encouraged. I want to feel hopeful. I can't tell you how many people come to church day in or week in and week out, and they're looking for that thing to be said to them that lets them walk out of the room skipping across the parking lot like a doe through a field, right? And that's what they want to come to church for. That's all they want. And listen, there is encouragement. There is excitement. There is joy in God's Word. But here's the deal. If you pick up the Word of God and you read it and you never feel uncomfortable, something's wrong. Because the Word of God is good for convicting us and challenging us and pressing us, because this is not who we naturally are, amen? And so if you're hearing me every week and you never feel like the challenge, like, then I'm not preaching the word. Because the word is here to show us the holiness of God, to show us who God is for who he really is, not who we think he is. And so we don't want to come with that emotional approach, just looking for things to make us feel good that we can stick on our coffee cups and t-shirts. Although those things happen. Another dangerous approach is to come to the word of God with an over-spiritual approach, like this looking for what is deep and hidden meaning in it. Right, so like, what is it in this text that's deep that nobody else has ever seen? Now, I'm not going to belabor this, but let me just say this. If you go to the word of God and you find something that nobody else in the church has ever seen, that for 2,000 years nobody has ever been led to by the Spirit of God, that's a red flag. This is why we read the word of God in community, because we can bring the things that God is leading us towards, that the Holy Spirit is moving us towards, and we can share it to people, and they can say, oh yeah, that's great. But if everybody in your community says, I don't know where you're getting that, like, that should be a concern. Like, if you go to it looking for the newest thing, the new revelation that nobody else has ever seen, like, there's been a lot of people that have spent their entire lives in the word of God, knowing Jesus. So there's not new revelations for us. Another dangerous approach is coming to the word of God with a pragmatic approach, which is this idea simply that says, what is it that works for me? And just real practically, this is when we go to the word of God with an agenda. Here's what I believe to be true, and I'm gonna go to the word of God and try to find the places that it validates my thought and my opinion and what I'm doing. Because I think what I'm doing is right. Listen, brothers and sisters, the word of God should read us. It should push us. It should define for us everything. Our worldviews, the things we think. We never go to the word of God to validate what we think to be true. We go to the word of God to press us into truth and to show us truth. The last one is the superficial approach. What does this mean to me? I have been guilty of this. I think many of us have been guilty of this. This is when we sit around in a Bible study together and we look at each other and we say, okay, what does this text mean to me? What does this text mean to me? You say, well, what's the harm in that? Well, here's the thing. We're never meant to always find ourselves in every single text. It's not about us. We are to be finding God in every single text. So when we go to stories like David and Goliath, the goal is not to find ourselves in that story. Well, today I'm David and I'm going to work tomorrow to kill the Goliath of this business deal, right? It doesn't matter what the text means to you. What matters is what it means and what it intended to mean by God and his revelation. And we're gonna spend all kinds of time walking through the practicalities of how we can understand this on the 12th. That's one of the reasons why I want you to come to that forum. We're gonna talk about how do we know what the text meant, what the scripture meant to us, so that we don't get led into the wrong spaces. But we don't want to come with that superficial approach, just simply asking, what does the text mean to me? So those are some dangerous things. So how do we approach the word of God? How should we approach the word of God? Two things first. First, we need to pray. Because we believe that is the Spirit of God that leads us to truth, that we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us. And so every single time you pick up this word, you should go, Father, read me, show me, press against me, help my eyes to see what you have today for me. Help me to see you clear. Lead me into a better and deeper relationship with you. We should constantly be asking the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't trust myself. Spirit of God, lead me forward as I read your word. And listen, if you don't know Jesus, you can do this too. You can come to the word of God and say, like, I don't believe in you. I don't know that I even think God exists. And I have all kinds of doubts. You can still go to him and say, okay, if you are there, I'm going to read the book of John, show yourself. And let me just tell you this, that if you are an unbeliever, and if you go to the word of God with that heart, you're gonna find him. I genuinely believe that, because if you go with the desire to see him, you will find him. And so I would encourage you to test him in that. Go to his word and pray and say, like, I don't even believe you in you, but if you're there, show me. Show me. Secondly, when we come to the word of God, before you ever open it up, we need to come with a posture of humility. Humility. Submissive humility. Where we come and say, Father, I'm yours. And we recognize that there's not a single person in this room, there's not a single person in all of Christian history who's going to stand before God and say, I had it all right. I saw everything the way I was supposed to see it. I saw you perfectly clearly. I understood the infinite God in its fullness. None of us will, amen? So let's go to the word of God with humility. Let's go to it and say, like, I'm just a finite human being who's 40 some odd years old, and I know I don't see clearly, so help me. So we go to prayer and we go with humility. Now, very practically, I want to give you an acronym, and this isn't the only one, there's hundreds of them out there, but this is one that I found personally helpful as we enter into the Word of God. And as my prayer is that you this year say, okay, I want to grow in intimacy with the Lord, and I'm going to take one step. Here is a practical roadmap for you as how you can engage devotionally God's word. And it's the acronym of MAPS. And the M stands first and foremost for meditation and memorization. Meditation and memorization. So here's the thing. As you read, it does you no good to just check off the box. To just go, okay, well, I got to get through my two chapters today, so I'm going to blow through this and then go about your day. And here's the deal. I think we can all struggle with that to an extent. Like, I have been one, I think many of us have been, where we spend time in the Word of God, and then 2 hours later, someone says, oh, what did you read about? And you go, I have no idea, right? Like, you've just gone through it, and you read it, and suddenly you don't even remember what story you're reading, and you're, like, starting to sweat because you're like, wow, I don't know, I feel really embarrassed now. Like, the whole point of meditation is that we ponder the things that God has given to us, that we reflect upon the things that God has given to us. The idea of meditation is all over Psalm 119, but it's also in places like Joshua. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Don't meditate on it for 10 minutes. Meditate on it day and night. And here's the thing, how? Do we sit around in a room all by ourselves and go, no, that's New Age, and we don't do that. Like, we don't empty our minds, we fill our minds with the Word of God. And so here's what meditation is, and I just want to make this really, really practical. We all know how to meditate. We all know how to ponder things. You've all watched a movie that you walked away with, and it just sat in your head, and you thought about the story, and you thought about what happened in that movie for the rest of the day. Like, you've all been in that conversation where you walk away from the conversation and the rest of the day you're going, I wonder what he or she said or meant about this. You know, they said this word. I wonder if this is what they meant. And you just can't get away from it. Like, you're meditating on it all day. That happened to me all the time when I was dating Karen. Right? So you're in a conversation and you walk away and go, was she giving me a hint that she wanted me to hold her hand? Did I miss that? Should I have done that? Well, then she reacted this way. Maybe I didn't do it. Like, I'm meditating, right? I'm pondering. Like, this is all we're supposed to do, is us taking our thoughts and directing them towards the things that we read, towards the things that we spent looking at. So some tools to do that as you think to meditate. Journal. Some of you say, well, I'm not good at journaling, but you just write down the verse that God stuck out in your head and that stuck out to you as you were reading, and write reflections on that. It helps get it into your head. And this goes into the memorization piece. Memorize God's word. Psalm 119 tells us, I have stored up your word in my heart. How do we store it up if we don't memorize it? And you say, well, what's the point of that? What's the good? Is that it helps you to meditate and ponder. And so this year, you've never memorized a verse, and you say, I'm terrible at memorizing verses. I've got an app in your bulletin you can go to. It's called the Bible Memory app. It's super fun. It's easy to use. It helps me memorize all kinds of verses. We're going to set up a group for Central Christian Church called CCC Gospel Life. Right now, it's not public, but it will be in the coming days. We'd ask you to join that. But listen, even if you memorize two verses the entire year, that's better than maybe you were last year. Memorize his word, ponder his word, that the Spirit might bring that up in the moments where you need it. The Spirit of God might let you walk in it. So one of the things we want to do is we want to memorize and we want to meditate on God's word. We want to journal. We want to reflect upon the things that he's giving to us. The A stands for apply. David in Psalm 119 tells us this in many different ways. He talks about applying these things and walking in these ways. James, the apostle, says this in James 1, 21 through 22. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen, friends, don't just read the word of God. Go apply it. You say, well, how do I apply intimacy with God? How do I take something like that and how do I apply it to my life? Well, here's the thing. Say you're reading a story about God's faithfulness to Abraham. Then you go away and you say, okay, so how can I apply? God has promised to be faithful. How can I walk in that? How can I step out in a way where he has to prove himself to be faithful in my life? Like, how can I engage in that? So ask yourselves some very simple questions. These are in your bulletin, and you can write these down. We're going to talk into more specificity on these on the 12th. But ask yourselves the question, like, is there a promise in this story that I need to learn to believe, that I need to walk in? Is there a command that is given to me in this text that I need to be obedient to, that I need to do because God is showing me the way of life in this text? Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Is there a view of God that I held that this text presses against and shows me I might have been wrong? And begin to walk in a new way of seeing those things and apply those. But you don't just apply it with your own strength. This moves us to the next piece, which is you apply it through prayer. Amen? Father, help me to walk in your faithfulness. Help me to be bold, to take steps of faith where you can show yourself to be faithful. Help me to see the moments in my life where you are being faithful to me. As we read the text, we want to pray through those things, not just for ourselves, but for other people. If your prayer life is dry and dull, start praying the word of God. If you're like me at times and you're like, I don't know what to pray, pray the word of God. Let me give you a very practical example. Psalms 119:10, we read it this morning. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I read that text and I feel like the biggest liar. Is anybody else? Like, with my whole heart, I seek you. Like, I might be able to say with 3/4 of my heart today, I seek you. With a half of my heart today, I seek you. So if I'm pressed in that, now I begin to come to God and go, Father, will you help me to seek you with my whole heart? Today, will you help me to seek you with everything I have, to seek to be obedient to you in everything that I have? Would you help my kids to seek you with their whole hearts? Because I see right now that they're seeking other things. They're seeking money. They're seeking relationships. And I can tell they're only seeking you with half their hearts. Father, would you please help them to seek you with their whole heart? Father, I'm wandering from your commandments. Will you forgive me and help me to walk in your commandments? Like, you see, we pray the word of God. You pray the word of God, asking him to apply these things to our lives. So often, I've run into a problem of not knowing what to say, and praying through his word is such a beautiful opportunity given to us as his people. And finally, we are to share. Our mission as the people of God isn't just to know God and to walk with God, but to share the things that we've given to. This is part of how we apply to our lives all the things that God is teaching us, is we share it. It's how God can stir in our hearts a passion, is by sharing it. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you've begun to talk about a vacation that you had maybe 10 years ago. And before you're done explaining all the wonderful things you saw, you're like, man, I cannot wait to get back to that place again, right? Because it stirred in your heart a desire for it. It stirred in your heart a passion for it. And you remember all the awesome things. I was talking to a brother this morning about Israel and my daughter and us going down there this past year. And even in just that short conversation, I started to think about those things and started to stir my heart, man, like I'd like to go back again. So sharing the things that God has given to us, it's part of how we grow. It's part of how God takes those things and plants them into our hearts. And yet so often we want to keep them to ourselves, don't we? But brothers and sisters, we're not called to be on islands. We're called to walk the walk of faith together. And we're called to share those things. Share in your study groups. Share in your gospel life classes. Share with your spouses. Share with your kids the things that God is showing you and the things God is leading you in. Dads, as you sit around the dinner table, don't just talk about and tell your kids that God is faithful. Tell them and show them how he's been faithful to you. Don't just talk about how important it is for us to sacrifice for the gospel. Sacrifice for the gospel in front of them, that they might see it in your life. Share the things that God is leading you to. If you've been walking with the Lord for 50, 60 years, share the intimacy that you've grown in him. Share the knowledge about him that you have experienced and the wisdom that he's given to you, the generations below you. Share, share, share. But don't just share within the church, share outside of the church, amen? Share the glories of God. Listen, none of us have any problem talking about how wonderful our wives or husbands are. I hope that's the case anyway. We don't have any problems talking about our kids. We don't have any problems talking about, oh, my kid, he's on the honor roll and he's doing fantastic and I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of my oldest kid because he's going into the nursing program at Butler and I'm so excited for that. I have no problems telling everybody about that, and yet do we not shy away from telling them about the glories of God and his beauty and his awe and his faithfulness? Listen, friends, I would encourage you when you read the Word of God in the morning or night, whenever that is, that your goal be to share with something, with somebody, what it is that God has shown you. Somebody in the church, somebody outside the church, even if it's just a small way. And today when you go out to lunch and you say, can I pray for you? To your waitress? Because this morning I was reading in God's Word that he desires to hear the hearts of his people. And I'd like to share that with you, and I'd like to pray for you. Like, share who God is. Now, you may have another method. You may have other ways, and there's all kinds of other ways to study the Scripture. But I didn't want us to walk out of the room pressing us to, like, brothers and sisters, regardless of where you are this year, take a step deeper into his Word. And I didn't want you to walk away without some practical ways to do that. Maybe you study every morning. Grow in your meditation. Grow in the way you memorize. Maybe you've not picked up the Word of God in years. Start spending 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. We've got a Bible reading plan that's going to be out at Info Central that you can pick up. It'll be on our website. Listen, don't let that overwhelm you. If you read four verses and you get stuck on the fourth one, that's great. Don't worry about the dates, but just be disciplined to engage. You miss a day, don't give up. Get back into it. Continue to move towards God because he has moved towards us, amen? Like, he has given us himself, not just in Christ, but in his Word. And man, I want us to be a people of the Word. And I want us to engage his Word. And my challenge today is for all of us to hear what Doug was saying, to hear the hope and to hear him say, like, I didn't know where to go, but I found it in his Word. I found it in him. And to hear the challenge, which is, where does it start? It starts in your home. It starts in the quiet moments with the Lord. If you're faint-hearted, brother and sister, it starts in your home. If you're weak, it starts in your home. If you're idle, it starts in your home. If you're strong, it continues in your home. Go to the Word and dedicate yourself to it this year in a way that you never have. This is not a book that good Christians just have to dutifully read as some chore being a part of this religion. This is the beautiful revelation of God's heart, of God's purposes, his delight in us, and is an invitation into life with him. It is a gift that leads us to life, that leads us to himself, and his spirit will lead us into an intimate and deep walk through his word and through his people. And I encourage you, I challenge you in 2020, if nothing else happens, dedicate yourself to a renewed passion for his word and ultimately for him. Amen? And if you're here this morning, and I already mentioned this, and you have never engaged his word, or you tried it before and it just wasn't there for you, or you don't even believe in God, I challenge you to read his word. And you find that parent, or you find that friend, or you find a pastor, and every time you run across the question, you come and you ask. But you come to it and you pray and say, okay, if it's all real, I'm gonna try it out. So God, I don't even know that I believe in you, but I'm just gonna try. And I would just challenge you to just try. You may not get past the first word. I had a friend of ours, she's an atheist. She's no longer an atheist, praise God. But she said, okay, fine, I'll read the Bible. And I told her to start in John, but she decided to start in Genesis. Nonetheless, she started in Genesis and got through the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And she said, well, I just don't know what to do with that because I don't know how to take that with like evolution and all kinds of stuff. And it took us on all kinds of conversations. But you know what? She started. She started. And you know what? She's no longer an atheist because she started. Right? And she doesn't know Jesus yet. But I'm just telling you, like, please take the opportunity he has communicated to you and to me. I want to end our time. And Peter's going to come out. He's just going to play for us. And I'm just going to take a moment to pray over us and to just be in a moment of stillness and silence. And I just want you, in this quiet moment, in response to this, to these challenges, to just think about what step are you going to take this year to engage in a deeper intimacy with the Lord? What are you going to do? What's that one step? Would you just take a moment and just go before the Lord? Father, in just the next few moments of stillness and quietness, you've invited us in to know you. You've invited us into this glorious privilege of walking with you. You've taken the initiative. Father, I want to pray right now for every single person in this room that is yours, that you would, by your Spirit, lay upon their heart one thing, one step, one movement that they can make this year towards you. And I want to pray, Father, that you would honor that and that you, and that they would find you. They would find you in a way that deep calls to deep, that would stir them to want more and more and more. Father, I want to pray that you forgive us for not coming to what you've given to us as much as we should, and for so taking it for granted at times. We confess, Lord, I confess in my own life that it's easier for me to run the movies and entertainment than to be with you. And we lay our hearts before you this morning. Father, I want to pray for those in this room now that don't know you. Father, I want to pray that you would lay it heavily upon their hearts to find and to come and read your word. I pray that tonight, Lord, they wouldn't even be able to sleep until they've picked up your word and begun to look at it. And Lord, I pray that they would find you in that space. Father, stir our hearts for you. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to close by a couple of invitations. One, don't forget, we do have some copies of a Bible reading plan out in our Info Central. If that's something you are looking for, please go take that. Go pick it up. If you prefer an electronic copy, we will have that available on our website as well. If you're here this morning and you have never picked up the Word of God and you don't even have a Bible, we've even got Bibles out there that you can pick up. And so please feel free to go to the Info Central. We would love to give you one as a gift today. We've got Bibles out there that we can give to you. And then I also want to call our prayer counselors and prayer warriors and elders and pastors, if you'd go ahead and come up to the front. And as they do so, if this morning you felt the Lord pulling on you, convicting, challenging your heart, maybe you've tried to get into God's word and you just don't know where to go or what to do, and you don't want to wait till the 12th, you want to talk with somebody, pray with somebody. You know what? Maybe you're in this room and you're struggling with, and I know this seems off topic, but I just feel like I need to say it. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with those things. You know, come and let us pray with you. Let us love you. Let us walk with you. There's no shame in that. And I know in the church, sometimes it feels like you have to be shameful of that, because people will throw at you a verse that says, let no anxiety, you know, we should have no anxieties, cast all our anxieties on Jesus. But there's a reality that sometimes, like, we just don't know how to. And I'm just saying, please don't walk out of this space without letting us pray over you, to walk with you, to help lead you to Christ in that manner. And if you don't feel comfortable coming and talking to one of our prayer counselors up here at the front, we'll have prayer counselors out in the back at our Info Central as well. You can respond to us through a number that's in your bulletin and your sermon notes, but please respond. Please hear God. And if this is your first time with us here at Central, we're glad you're here. I would love to have the opportunity to meet with you. And so right after the service, I'll be out in the lobby at our Info Central booth and would love to talk with you. Father, I pray a blessing upon this church. I pray a blessing upon these people that are here today. I pray, Lord, that you would send us out with a passion to know you deeper. It is in your name we pray. Amen. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.